join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is No More Trauma by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
All right. Well, let's get ready to go to the Word of God. Let me just go and read this scripture. I was debating even whether I read this scripture as we begin this, but it's the first one as God gave me this subject, and I started thinking that's the first scripture that came to mind. So I want to go ahead and read this from Psalms 137. Psalms 137, starting at verse 1. And it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4. Sad scripture. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Those same verses from the New Living Translation, verses 3 and 4. It says, for our captives demanded a song for us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? And the scripture is, even though they're no longer in, this is a psalm of them reflecting on the oppression that they went through, not here in Egypt. This is when they were taken captive to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, later Darius, oppressing them. They're taken away captive because they're really being judged. And while they were there, they're being asked to sing songs. Sing those old nice Jewish songs, those joyful Jewish songs that you sing about your God. Sing us a real good praise and worship song. Sing us a good gospel song. And they asked the question, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And so this song, this psalm came to my mind because earlier this week, I found myself being very heavy. On Monday, I found myself as we woke up and another, seeing the stories behind another young African-American man being killed unnecessarily because of an oops. Oops meant to tase you. Oops, I thought I had my taser. Oops, whatever. Another mother's son is gone. Another boy's father is gone. Another woman's boyfriend, fiance, husband is gone. Another grandmother's grandson is gone. Somebody's cousin is gone because of somebody's oops. And I found myself being very heavy. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I found myself, okay, can y'all handle this? We're going to work through it. And I'm working through it. And I've worked through it. I worked through it with my staff yesterday. I says, God, I got to preach hope. I got to preach faith. I got to tell people everything's going to be all right. I said, God, but sometimes it don't look like things going to be all right. I started saying, God, we sing how great you are, and it doesn't change the fact that God's good. But right now, that's not what I feel like singing about. Do I have that book here in my? It's a book I have, and the book was based upon a song by Marvin Gaye, I believe. Makes me want to holler. I didn't feel like singing. I just felt like hollering. Thinking the possibility could have been one of my sons, could have been one of my grandchildren, one of my grandsons, could have been one of your sons, your nephew, your cousin, etc. How do we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And sometimes we feel like even though we're born in this country and even though we've been here for many years and most of us don't know any other place, and I've been to Africa and I want to come back to America. I'm just telling the truth. Coming to America, came back. And yet that this is all we know, sometimes we feel like we're in a strange land. And I start realizing, and even last week when I'm sorry, y'all, I don't remember the name of George Floyd's murderer. I can't remember his name. Slogan, whatever his name is, the trial of the officer who brutally lynched him publicly and killed him. Even though I have time here around the house, I made my mind. I wasn't just going to sit in front of the TV and watch that over and over again. I said, I'm not going to. I said, you know, I'll get the synopsis and I'll catch up. I'll catch up when the news comes on at night. I generally watch 6:30 news, Lester Holt. And if I don't, it's recorded and I'll watch it later. But I'm not going to sit and watch that all day because I realize to watch it again is going to take me back to last year, to last summer. And to keep watching, yeah, Chauvin, Derek Chauvin. To keep watching it, I realized was triggering trauma. And so what I really want to talk today about is the catchy topic that'll go up on YouTube and all. So folks, the catchy topic will be no more trauma. No more trauma. But I really want to deal with overcoming trauma and dealing with trauma. Because Dwayne Wright, whether we acknowledge or not, traumatized us again. When they have a video that get me to tell you and what they do on CBS News anyway, say, and we want to warn you, this may be difficult to watch. You know, you get ready to be traumatized. You get ready to be, traumas get ready to be triggered. And so I start thinking about trauma, studying about trauma, and then say, I got to go to the word of God about how we deal with trauma. So when we deal with it just from a psychological standpoint, psychology today defines trauma as a person's emotional response to a distressing experience. Person's emotional response to a distressing experience. And few people, the truth of the matter, few people can go through life without encountering some kind of trauma. Unlike ordinary hardships, though, traumatic events tend to be sudden, unpredictable, and involve usually a serious life threat, like a bodily injury or death, and you feel like it's beyond a person's control. And most importantly, events that are traumatic to a degree that they undermine your personal sense of safety in the world. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land that I'm going to feel safe in? So when you've been traumatized, it undermines your sense of safety in the world. And it creates a sense of catastrophe, a sense that catastrophe could strike at any time. Some of y'all may remember this, and I said it, and I realized when I saw the church's response to what I'm getting ready to say here, and I said it on a Sunday morning, and nobody else could identify with it, I said, boy, okay, I was traumatized. I said one day I was preaching. I said, remember when we was kids and you felt like, let me get out of this room with adults, because you always felt like as a child at any moment something going to go down and you're about to be slapped or hit or something. I said, how many of y'all experienced that? And nobody raised their hand. Well, that was my experience as a child. I would say something, do something, and we're going to get smacked, get ridiculed, yelled at. Well, I realized that's trauma. That's trauma. The fact that I could be 50-something years old, almost 60, and still thinking about being traumatized as a child, just being around adults. And I've even thought about it regarding around my grandchildren. I look at my grandchildren, and particularly the older ones, you know, 10, 8 and 10, or 9, 11, whatever they are right now. And, you know, and they just around here playing. I've never had a reason to hit them. I've never had a reason to spank them. I could not imagine living 10 years and never been spanked. I've never really had a reason to really yell at them. You know, I tell them what to do, and they respond. Now, the parents tell us that they are better for us than they are with them. I don't know what that is. But you realize certain things that you go through in your childhood that you're still thinking about is because that thing traumatized you in some type of way. Sometime in your childhood, it could be the loss of a parent. It could be an auto accident, physical violence, sexual assault. Several people in our church, including our church, and we live here in Columbia, South Carolina, where there's the largest military training base of the United States, is here in Columbia, South Carolina, Fort Jackson. And our church is a church home for a lot of either veterans or active military people, in many cases, and reserves, et cetera. And many of our military people who are part of our church, integrating our church, many of them, or several of them that I know of, these ones I know of, and other ones maybe I don't know of, deal with PTSD, which is just another way of saying trauma, as a result of their military combat experiences. Sometimes trauma comes from the unexpected loss of a loved one and many commonly traumatic events. And then when you study this further, they start breaking down like 5 types of trauma. Psychology Today drops down 5 types of trauma. Number one, they talk about acute trauma. And acute trauma, it reflects intense distress in the immediate aftermath of a one-time event. And the reaction is short duration. Okay, when my son Tyler, who's what, 31, 32 now, I'm losing track. Lord, geez, you know, you're getting old. You used to know everybody's name. You know, I think around 30, 31, 32. But when he was, I remember exactly when it was. It was April of 1998. We were in out the river, Broad River Road, Postal Worker Union Hall, and we were getting ready to move into have service at the River Drive location the next day. And I'm coming around, and it had just started raining. I got my, what was that Saab car that I had. And I went to navigate a turn on Piney Grove in Columbia, South Carolina here. And I turned, but the car didn't. And the car kept going straight, and we crashed right into another car. And I kind of hit it to the side. And I kind of closed my eyes, just praying it wouldn't be too bad. And it wasn't that bad. And our car got dinged up. The other car kind of ran into a railing. Thank God it was a railing there. And I called Marcia. And Marcia came, and I remember Tyler said, Mama, can I ride with you? He was traumatized. For a long time, that boy did not want to get in a car with me for years. He was traumatized by being in a car accident with me. He wasn't hurt. I wasn't hurt. But that traumatized him. And that's acute trauma. Usually, sometimes it lasts for a short duration. Then there's chronic trauma. And chronic trauma, that can arise from harmful events that are repeated and prolonged. Okay? You know, when you went to school, bullying for years, feeling neglected throughout your childhood for many years. Abuse, that could be emotional, physical, sexual, or even if you're in a domestic violent relationship or domestic violence in a marriage, chronic trauma, something that keeps repeating itself over a long period of time. Then thirdly, they talk about complex trauma that arises from experiencing repeated or multiple traumatic events from which there's no possibility of escape. multiple things, no possibility of escape. And like other types of trauma, it can be undermine a sense of safety in the world. And okay, and you can make you just hyper vigilant. And it's constantly exhausting because you just exhaust. You feel like at any moment something's about to happen. Something can break down. You start monitoring your environment very closely. Okay, you're looking at everything. Okay, I realized, for example, even though I have never been in a movie shooting, I have never been in a school shooting, because I've seen those things on television, it's traumatized me to the sense, to the degree that when we were going to movie theaters, when they were open, we were going to them, I immediately went in and I would look at where all the exits were, because I know that's the trauma of that guy coming into the movie theater in Colorado and shooting up the movie theater. I'm immediately looking at where are the exit signs. When I'm sitting there watching a movie and somebody starts walking up, I start looking at them. I take my eyes up. That's result of that's complex trauma. Then they talk about secondary or vicarious trauma, which is kind of what I'm describing here, because secondary and vicarious trauma arises from exposure to other people's suffering, even though it hasn't happened to you. You put yourself in their situation. Even though it hasn't happened to you, you feel like it happened to you. And the truth of the matter, y'all, for a lot of us, this is what we are experiencing right now, particularly as African Americans. We are going through secondary vicarious trauma by constantly seeing African Americans shot unnecessarily and killed by the police. And many times people in helping professions like mine, pastor, doctor, first responders, many times deal with secondary and vicarious trauma from seeing other people's trauma. And over time, such individuals are at high risk for what they call compassion fatigue. Feel like you're carrying the weight of other people's burdens and trauma. And then you can get to the point, if you don't know how to deal with this, you will avoid investing yourself emotionally in other people's in an attempt to just protect yourself from experiencing distress. And then they got something, the fifth type they call, is known as ACE, which is adverse childhood experiences. And that covers a wide range of difficult situations that children either directly or indirectly witness or face or go through while they're growing up. And sometimes these things happen before they're able to develop coping skills. And ACEs can disrupt the normal course of development, and emotional injury can last long into adulthood. So you got adults who don't trust anybody. You got people just fly off the handle and you didn't do anything to them. You got people, if you say good morning, they'll just about cuss you out. And sometimes that has to do with ACE, adverse childhood experiences. Sometimes it can be through neglect, emotional, physical, sexual abuse, divorce, trauma. And when I looked at these definitions, I said, it is amazing. I'm talking about myself right now. And some of y'all can relate. When I looked at these definitions of trauma, acute trauma, chronic trauma, complex trauma, secondary and vicarious trauma, and adverse childhood experiences, I say I've been through all of that. It's amazing. I'm not somewhere in a room with rubber on the some type of cushioning on the walls, knocking my head against a wall somewhere. When we think about what we've been through, so many of us, and then we keep being traumatized when we see these kind of things happen. So trauma, let me summarize this here. Summarize the trauma before we really get to how do we deal with this? We can identify with it, but how do we deal with it? How do we deal with it? Trauma, in summary, is anything, check this out, anything that has changed your view of God, yourself, or others for the worse. anything that's changed your view of God, yourself, or others for the worse. Years ago, my former pastor, Apostle Milford Carter, this is years ago. We were there in the early 90s, 92 to 95. And I remember we got into it. It was a heated, intense, because it wasn't like that. I wasn't arguing with him, going back and forth. But I made a comment at that time. At that time, I was close to half the age I am now, in my early 30s. And I said a comment at that time based on my life experience that I have had more positive experiences with white people in my life than negative. He said, "What did you say?" I said, "I've had more positive experiences with white people than I've had negative experiences with white people." And he said, "How in the world are you going to say that? What about blah, blah, blah?" I said, "I'm not saying anything about your experience. You grew up in Oklahoma. I grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey. And when I was thinking about that, it was white nuns who put me through school." Okay. And so that weighed very heavily upon me, positive experiences with white people. But based upon his experience, he couldn't believe what I was saying and tried to change what I was saying. That was my life experience. You can't tell somebody their life experience is not real to them. And what traumatizes one person may not traumatize somebody else. So based upon what they've experienced, they could not identify having more positive experiences with white people than negative. Now, if you ask me that now close to 20 to 30 years later, probably close to 30 years later than I initially said that, my answer may be different. But anything that's changed your view of God, "I used to trust God, but now I don't." You did run well. What traumatized you? "I used to go to church. Now I don't." We ain't going to talk about folks who've been traumatized by people in the church. That's a whole nother subject. That's a whole nother. Folks have been traumatized by preachers. And so anything that's changed your view of God, yourself, or others for the worse, anything that shifts the way you view reality is trauma. Anything that you start thinking about when you don't want to think about many times is stimulated by trauma. We're not even talking about that, but you go there. The movie's not even about that, but that's how you see it. They didn't even say that, but that's how you heard it. All that is trauma. Things that often you often get reminded of it from things that are not even related to it. Trauma. You're reminded of it from non-related things. That's because of trauma. So then trauma now causes you to not be able to enjoy things you should enjoy, whether it's sex in your marriage, whether it's, you know, going on a trip. Trauma causes you not to do things that you would normally do. Trauma causes you to not see things as you used to see them or should see them. Y'all hear me always talk about I'm not going on a roller coaster, right? And the reason why I ain't going on a roller coaster, because I got traumatized by the green lightning or whatever that was at Universal Studios. And I promised the Lord, if you get me off this roller coaster, I will never, ever get on another roller coaster. And y'all, that was probably around the year 2000 or something like that, when I took my kids to Universal Studios and I got on that roller coaster and I promised the Lord. And can I tell you, I ain't going back on it and I won't go back on it. And we can laugh about that, but know what that is? That's just trauma in a different form. A lot of us, we're traumatized by much more serious things. Trauma, y'all, it causes normal things to feel abnormal. Non-threatened things to feel threatening. Y'all heard me say years ago, again, and I text him this week, pastor friend of mine. His name is Carnell Lewis. He lives in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, where Dwayne Wright was just shot, where the protests are going on. I text him the other day and I said, I'm praying for you and your city. He came to visit us here. I had him preach for us several years back when we were on St. Andrews Road. And I was taking him at that time to see the land that we own, that we have now built on, the place that was Hideaways on Broad River Road. And I was showing him, we own this here, and so I pulled behind the building. It was at night, and a police car came, understandably so. Police car came, and he put the lights on, and he got out, and I was just going to explain to him, this is my property and what I was doing, and I'm waving my hands, and I said, well, and I wasn't frightened. I said, I'm just going to tell the police officer, I understand why we look suspicious, pulling up on his land behind his building at night. And as I did that, my friend, he said, Herb, stop waving your hands, man. Put your hands on the dashboard. Put your hands on. And I started laughing. He said, put your hands on the dashboard, Herb. Stop waving your hands. Well, obviously, he had experience in Minnesota, perhaps. I think he grew up in Detroit or Minnesota, Minneapolis area, that I hadn't had.
Trauma can either make you bitter or make you better. Trauma can bring you down or drive you up. Some type of way, we have to take the trauma we've been through and say, God is still with me. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to overcome the trials and trauma we've faced and proclaim that if God is for me, who could be against me? To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.